Good morning, everyone. You're all brave souls to come to worship with us this morning, in spite of the little bit of the drizzling this morning. So I commend you. I pray that we will all have the personal experience of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, touching our body and soul as we worship together this morning, and especially through the message that God has prepared for all of us. The following is a real story written by Martin Root. He was the president of a major advertising firm, and I was a very young management consultant. I had been recommended to him by one of his employees who had seen my work and thought I had something to offer. I was nervous. At that stage in my career, it wasn't very often that I got to talk to the president of a company. The appointment was at 10 a.m. for 1 hour. I arrived early. Promptly at 10, I was ushered into a large and airy room with furniture upholstered in bright yellow. He had his shirt sleeves rolled up and a mean look on his face. "You've got 20 minutes," he barked. I sat there, not saying a word. I said, "You've got only 20 minutes." Again, not a word. "Your time is ticking away. Why aren't you saying anything?" "They are my 20 minutes," I replied. "I can do whatever I want with them." He burst into laughter. We then spoke for an hour and a half. I got the job. He was a very brave one. Can we do whatever we want with our life? We want to, but cannot. Life has all kinds of pain and suffering that takes us to a new path, which does not have anything to do with our will. Think of so many millions of displaced people today who left their home country against their will because of life-threatening events. I recently heard the story of a struggling restaurant owner. The restaurant thrived for decades. The secret of the recipe of the owner's mom contributed to its success. The owner's mom was the chef and did not share her recipe with anyone for fear of losing the business if someone stole it. Suddenly, his mom developed Alzheimer's and could not cook, nor could she remember her recipe. How do we digest a painful situation happening suddenly against our will? The Apostle Paul, in his letter to Christians in Rome, said, "In everything, God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." This is not actually easy to understand. How can we understand when Paul said, "In everything God works for the good"? Is it true that God uses everything and even pain to work for us? Now, I'd like us to watch a video clip of a flash mob. I'm not sure whether you have heard of this term before. It's a flash mob that's appeared to be a random event, but it's not. That plays a part of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, Ode to Joy. We know the music as "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee" in our hymn. Enjoy the video with Paul's word in mind. The event took place as a complete surprise to the audience, and it is the very intention of flash mobs. In the beginning, the double bass player seemed to try to get some attention from passerbys with his solo performance. A double bass is not a popular instrument for solo pieces, and its note sounded unfamiliar. No one would have guessed it as a tune of the legendary music piece at first. Soon, more string instruments joined the double bass, followed by woodwinds, percussions, and even chorus. A double bass turned out to be a part of a full orchestra with a conductor, and the entire event was choreographed in detail ahead of time. The way of God's operation can be compared with a flash mob. Our life is not a random event, but God choreographs it. As the conductor knew all the instruments, God knows every detail about us and has the power to run our lives the way He wants. As the master conductor, God has a perfect plan to make beautiful music out of our lives. On the other hand, we act like that little girl who threw a coin in the head with no clue about the grandiose orchestra hidden behind the lone bass player. We may not see God at the center stage of our life, but God conducts every event and thing to work together to fulfill His purpose. Now, God's intervention is not complex to understand in good times, but in times of suffering. According to Paul, suffering is unavoidable because God made the whole creation subject to the groaning of bondage. For example, think of various professions that young people today try to avoid because they require a more extended education and training. Having watched my wife, Becky, I have learned how stressful the medical profession can be, and I know I would have not survived that stressful profession. Whatever profession young people prefer, it can give them pain at some point. Everyone suffers in life and may not see any value of suffering. But Paul pointed out some profitability of suffering. God can use our suffering for our good. How? Suffering turns our eyes to Jesus for solutions and make us hope for future glory. Let us be honest. If we do not have any problems, would we seek God and pray as much as we do? Do you know why I commit to the life of prayer day and night? Because I see many problems and don't see any other options but take them to the Lord. Problems bring us closer to God, which is the chief goal of life. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul shared a concrete case of pain that positively impacted him. He was given a thorn in his flesh. It was so painful that Paul called it a messenger of Satan tormenting him. He pleaded with the Lord to take it away from him 3 times. But the answer he got from God was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." No one knows what Paul's thorn exactly was, except several hints he described. It caused so much physical pain and weakened his body that he identified as a messenger of Satan. The excruciating pain that made him weak probably could have immobilized him at times, and he could not carry out ministry. Paul hated it so much that he regarded it as a satanic agent. Paul asked God to remove it from him, but God didn't. What was Paul's position on that thorn? Instead of being upset with God, Paul saw the profitability of his thorn. His thorn served as a restraint to be humble and a channel to receive God's power. When we are spiritually, emotionally, and physically weak, when we do not have the energy to do anything, the Holy Spirit intervenes. We are so dispirited and do not pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us. When we experience spiritual and physical immobility, the Holy Spirit empowers us. Our weakness is a vessel to invite the Holy Spirit. Suffering and weakness do not mean God has stopped working in our lives. We may not be able to see God clearly because of pain, but in everything, that is, including pain, God works for the good of those who love Him. It is similar to Beethoven's situation. Beethoven's hearing began declining in his mid-20s. It began with a buzzing noise in his ears, and his hearing worsened for the next 15 years. At the age of 40, he was almost entirely deaf. Yet it was when he wrote the most famous symphony, the number 9 we just saw. At the premiere of the 9th symphony in Vienna in 1824, he could faintly hear it. Faintly. His inability to listen to and appreciate his music had nothing to do with the excellence of his masterpiece. Likewise, our inability to see God in our present suffering does not mean He no longer works for us. Our present suffering does not mean that God has left us. We may feel that our life is out of tune, as it was at the beginning of that flesh mob. But we are under the grand scope of the orchestra God conducts, and our parts are essential, though we may not regard it so. Our parts are essential to produce beautiful harmony. God holds everything together with His power and runs our life according to His master plan. Amen.